Well, focusing in on joy that the Bible tells us about in Christ and the spreading of God's word by the shepherds of all people. And so when I go home every day, I pass a little area where the fellow raises sheep. So he's a shepherd right in the neighborhood. I should ask him how things are in the shepherding work. But if the shepherds in Jesus' day were to pick a song to sing about the birth of Jesus, they might pick a song that we sang recently here in worship. I don't know if you remember the words. I cannot tell why he who angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men. So this amazing thing to the writer. But this I know, that Christ was born of Mary, and all our darkness fled from heaven's light. You know, the shepherds literally saw that. When Christ the Lord, so human and so holy, in love was born for me that holy night. And so not only Jesus being born, but making an impact on our souls. He was born for me that holy night. The shepherds were impacted by that truth, and we want to be also. So God had a story to tell to the nations. He tells a story in our own soul, told the story to the shepherds, ends up telling the story through the shepherds to other people. And surprise, he tells the story of this life-changing event through you and me. So if you see yourself as somebody who spreads the word of God, you'd be right on from the Bible. You'd be identifying with the shepherds. So looking at the shepherds a little bit and their background, blue-collar, poor end of economics in there, most shepherds would be. They were living out in the fields, the Bible tells us. I've never lived out in the fields. Go camping once in a blue moon, only my wife twists my arm. But living out in the fields, no house, no apartment. Can't live in an apartment if you're a shepherd, can't do your job. Living in the tents, probably. Living out in the fields, maybe, shepherd slumdog millionaire type life. A millionaire of God's riches in their soul. So that's a little bit who they are. They worked guarding the sheep at night while others slept. Third shift guys. A danger comes at night. Most robberies, most crimes, nighttime. Dangerous job. Fight off the coyotes, fight off the wolves. Who knows? So they know what it's like to be fearful and to have to be alert. And, when we sleep, God watches over us to guard us. Psalm 3 is a good psalm to read if you have trouble sleeping on an occasional basis. I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Well, that's what the people in the town were saying. The shepherds were saying, oh, I'm awake for the night. And shepherds, as they did their job, for the rest of the people, they were considered unreliable witnesses. Just couldn't rely on a shepherd because they didn't have much going for them, a little bit roughnecks and so forth. So, and as worshipers, shepherds were not allowed, if this was the temple, shepherds wouldn't be allowed to be sitting where you're sitting. Okay, they'd have to be out there with the Christmas tree somewhere in the back. They were only allowed in the court of the Gentiles. I don't know, because they were dirty or smelly or caused the ruckus. Who knows what the theology reason was, but that was the practice of the folks back then. So as a shepherd, they had a highly questionable relationship with God, if any. Okay. Suspicious characters. And God using them in the way he did, shows the credibility of the Bible itself. Because if you were going to make up a story of Jesus being born the way he was, you would not pick shepherds to be the first witnesses and the first carriers of the message. That would be a major mistake. But the Lord knew, his message and who his son was so powerful, it would be able to get across the truth of it even through the shepherds. And of course, their lives were changed. Accurate Dr. Luke, who was reliable, wrote what happened there for the shepherds. And the angel of the Lord appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. and a great host of heavenly angels appeared with the one a little later in the story. And that's something that's never happened to me. I would say most likely did not happen to you. If it has, you haven't said anything about it. You haven't met an angel. You know, my wife Virginia didn't say, come on, is there an angel out in the backyard? Look, this is a life-changing event over here. We've known the Lord a long time, trusting Him, but never had an angel appear. And saw the glory of God in different settings. That's really good. The God's glory is throughout the whole earth, but never to the extent like these shepherds had, that we were like totally terrified. And God had to verbally say, don't be afraid. Okay, so this is something happening to hard-nosed guys that were a life-changing time for them and would be for the whole world. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. One of my favorite lines of the gospel, Luke there. Good news of great joy for all the people. Are you looking for good news of great joy? Probably not. Okay. Our expectations are a little lower, a little more realistic. But that the shepherds weren't looking for good news of great joy either. And God brought it to them. So even when you're not looking for the Lord, He might come and surprise you. Oh, I heard it. About Jesus. This is good news of great joy. You think of joy, you know, with the little acrostic, Jesus, J, others, and then yourself. That's something the shepherds started demonstrating right off the bat. Totally taken back by Christ. Very excited to help others. Trust in the Lord. And then their self was in there also. So joy that God would give us, He gave it to the shepherds. He would give that to us. It's part of the character of God. It's not normally a part of our character. And Jesus said, I've told you these things so that my joy would be in you, your joy complete. Remember that the Lord is a joyful God. Certainly a God of power. Yes, wrath. Definitely love. But joy also. And peace. So, Zephaniah, did you know that God is joyful over you? In Zephaniah chapter 3, it says, the Lord will save you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you and quiet you with His love. And He will rejoice over you with singing. So God takes great delight in you. And if you know, this time of year there's musicals on TV and sometimes put on in different places. And then, you know, they're singing. The one sings over the other. And in the musical of the Bible, God sings over us. That's really great. And then we learn to sing to Him back, you know, in our praises. If not with our voices, at least in our souls. So the joy that God brought the shepherds could be yours and mine. For troubled hearts, hearts that aren't joyful, hearts that are in pain. And not a superficial thing, but an anchor for our souls. And the good news of great joy came to them, and the news was, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So the shepherds go and see. They want, you know, they're practical people. They want to go see, is this really true? And it's one of the glories of the gospel, again, of the credibility of Jesus' birth. He came by sight. He came by words, angels to shepherds, shepherds to others, and words passed on by witnesses. And people started to get amazed at what was going on. And so the Bible says, shepherds spread the word concerning the child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Wasn't the outstanding communication skills of the shepherds, wasn't even their character credibility, although that counts for people, it was the content of what they said. There's this, the Savior been born. He's the Messiah. Okay, so that's something. And Mary and Joseph are there and so forth. And so God's message is strong and powerful through broken communicators like you and me. And I think this shows us that when you believe in the Lord, you become an effective witness for Him. I want to concentrate on the positive side of being a witness. I don't want to spend time this morning saying, you should talk more about Jesus. I know you're not talking enough about Him. I don't want to spend a lot of time saying, you know, you're not too good, are you, with the Bible? And if you read a little more, then you'd be a better witness. You know, come on, pick it up, you bunch of whatever. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. That's good. That's important. But here, for the shepherds, they didn't have time for any of that. They just thought, I saw Christ, I know Christ, and I'm going to tell somebody, and my life has changed. You could do that, right? I could do that by the grace of God. So, a couple Bible facts that will help us know we are effective witnesses for Him. And this has helped me tell others of Jesus also. First, that God makes His appeal through us. Shepherds' lives began to be changed. They hear news, Christ is the Savior. They start to take action. Okay, and it's not their own self going to spread the word. You know, the Lord sent them by these angels coming in the nighttime to them. And 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that. We are God's ambassadors, God making His appeal through us. Interesting, if you like Bible versions, this one, the ESV really does the most fantastic job. You get other Bibles will say this. We are Christ's ambassadors as if God were making His appeal through us. In other words, maybe. He might even make an appeal through you, you know. It's kind of an analogy thing. It's really not what the Bible says. It says we're God's ambassadors. God making His appeal through us. More definite. More true. You know, more reliable. And He's definitely drawing other people to Himself because He's changed our lives. You go to a great place to eat, you're going to tell somebody, you should go to this place to eat. It's tremendous. Same thing happens to somebody who knows Christ. Think of this analogy, imperfect analogy, but I like it. It's the 1870s, and people ask you to go and make light out of darkness with electricity. Was not around in the 1870s, hardly at all. I'm just relying on Thomas Edison information over here. And you would say, well, it's impossible to make light out of darkness, you know, just using electricity. There's no reliable way to do this. You would feel lost. You would feel like you can't do it, and you can't bring light to darkness, except with the old-fashioned candles and so forth. And so but somebody tells you, hey, you get to work with another adventurer by making light from darkness. His name's Thomas Edison. Okay, now what does that do to your confidence level? Okay, you say, I have a lot of confidence in Thomas Edison. I heard he could do it. He's been working on this for, I don't know, what's the story, 400 times. Got it right on 401 or something like that. But our confidence would grow in the one leading the way. And God spreads the good news of Christ through us. Our confidence is in Him. He does it with us. We didn't choose ourselves to go do this. He chose us. He knows what He's doing. So we're very glad. We would become less anxious, very glad. And just like the Lord did it for the shepherds, He'll do that for us. So you're an effective witness for God because you know Christ. You know, we would say, well, I trust Him. Goodness gracious, on a Sunday morning, I get up 8:30 to go and seek God and give Him thanks. That's evidence. Somebody would say, well, why do you do that? You know, well, there was this baby born in a manger, and He's Christ the Lord. God helps us. He makes His appeal through us. Psalm 51:15. Lord, open my mouth, and I will bring forth Your praise. So in our spreading the word, it's always God doing, you know, He's the great communicator. And we could have rest and assurance about that. I wanted to mention two things in sharing about Christ, often it's your own, you know, what Jesus is doing for you at this point in time in your life that will have people say, oh, I think that's true. So talk about that. Even when you're not, don't feel close to God, just say, you know, I do believe in God, but I don't feel close to Him. The person who doesn't know Christ will say, huh, that sounds like a real experience to me. You know, that's something I could see, like any relationship you're up and down about. You're not going to be up all the time, if anybody gave you that impression, you know. No, you're not going to be on fire all the time. But you can know Christ, and He can get you through the down times, times when things aren't going well for you. So that's a credible witness that you could pass on. God makes His appeal through us. That's the first point. Second Bible fact, that our worship of God spreads the truth that Christ is Lord. Because when you think about it, anytime you go to a time of worship, either together or you know, when you're working throughout the week, when we eventually shovel snow, it'll be a work that honors God. You know, we're doing it on behalf of somebody else, even if it's to save our own hitting the concrete from slipping or whatever. But when we worship or work, we know the goodness of God, because those things are a gift from Him. Work was a part of paradise. Certainly worship is a part of paradise. And so what the shepherds did, after they spread the word, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen. So they were, nobody said, you know, hey, don't forget to worship the Lord now, shepherds. Jesus led them very greatly. Charles Spurgeon comments on this, the wonder of this occasion with the shepherds. He says, we along with the shepherds continue to wonder at the great marvels of our God, that God should consider our fallen soul instead of sweeping us away with the broom of destruction. This is amazing. The shepherds sense, you know, I was lost. I didn't know God at all. And then He gives me this news. Something like that happened to us. That Jesus pays the ransom to set us free. Each believer, I like this part, each believer is most amazed when he considers the redemption of himself. Not that we're egocentric, but we know we're very undeserved. We have a lot of sins that need forgiven. And I'm totally amazed that Christ would be my Savior. That's what old John Wesley said. He said, when you get to heaven, there'll be three surprises. You'll look around for people you thought were going to be there. They're not there. And then you'll look for people who you thought, no way in heaven will they be in heaven. And they're there. And Wesley said, the biggest surprise of all is that you'll say, I'm here. You know, this is great. And I'm sure the shepherds felt the same way. And it's a miracle of grace that Jesus should forsake the glories of heaven to suffer disrespectfully for you. I mean, that's what happened. And let your soul lose itself in wonder and worship of this good news. So when we worship, we say, well, that's, God is great. He continues to change my life. And hopefully you feel changed when you worship God with others. He does that. You don't even have to feel a certain way. God's faithful. And the Bible says we're changed from glory to glory in an increasing way. If you thought about that. Most things in the Bible will tell you this about your ability to spread the word. That has gotten better because of the progress of God in your life. It's not gotten better necessarily because you're more amble on your feet, or you took one of those speaking courses, you know, Toastmasters. That's helpful. But you become a more effective witness because God has been with you a longer time. and he's changing your life in an ever-increasing glory, because he's faithful to do that. Unless you're in total rebellion, which is possible, then he's not changing your life in an ever-increasing glory. In that case, you repent. You say, oh, I don't think I'm too thankful for God, and I don't trust him to do very much at all. Then we could say, well, we're going to stop that and begin to trust. And he helps us. But you're being changed by God himself. And in terms of your witness, I like the verse, God does more than you think or ask or imagine. Okay. I think most of us, if we were to evaluate ourselves as, you know, are we a good called witness for Christ, we would say, oh, average, maybe a little less than average. Thankfully, better than the two guys, you know, in the pew with me. We'd start to scramble for good news. But the Bible truth would be, no. But effective. And by the grace of God, at least as effective as the shepherds. Okay. Because we're just thankful for Christ. And so, go with the truth. God's word is spread through you. You're his children. You're his ambassadors. Your worship matters to God and to others. You have the child song in your soul, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And God honors himself through highly questionable people, like the shepherds and like you and me. So praise the Lord. And let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for good news of great joy. We still are glad to belong to you, even in this moment of a Sunday morning. And all you came to bring, peace with God, forgiveness of sins, above all else, Jesus, knowing you, what a privilege, and then a home in heaven as a gift, not earned or deserved, and you would say anybody who's thirsty, you would come for this gift. So we're glad for the gift. We're glad to tell of Jesus and his love, and thank you for making us effective communicators of spreading your word. Just use us in your good manner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.